It's a magnificent goal. Stuttgart brilliant, ruthless, belligerent, unstoppable.
There's Guirassy, Guirassy! That was a lovely finish.
Dennis Undav again.
Oh, what a pass that is! Absolutely stunning!
Welcome to episode 105 of Valve-based Stuttgart Americana, an American-based English-language Valve-based Stuttgart fan podcast where reviews are unofficial, uninformed, and usually unprepared. Like I said, this is episode 105. You can reach us on social media at Valve Americana, online at valve-stuttgart-americana.com. Hopefully you enjoyed the intro music for this episode, and thanks to Valve-based Stuttgart for posting online because it's quite apropos for this particular episode. Because usually we'd have shout-outs, review the previous match, a convincing win over Augsburg to secure third place in 2023, then dive into some news, headlines, and questions, and finally give a preview of the upcoming match. This time, though, we're going to shake things up a little bit. With it being the holiday season and the end of the year and the end of the first half of the season, we're going to break from our usual form and instead jump right into our end-of-the-year Hinrunde review and look back at the previous 16 matches of, boy, what has just been an amazing start to the season. But thanks to everyone who has listened and everyone who has sent in questions for this particular episode, don't worry, we'll end up answering most of them during our next segment. And the ones that we don't, we'll hit up after the Gladbach match in January 13th. Going back to the intro music, though, you'll no doubt notice it had a voice that is very familiar to all of you, a voice that just so happens to be our guest today. So enough of me yammering on. Let's listen to a guy who actually knows what he's talking about, ESPN's very own Derek Ray. Happy holidays, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and hope you enjoy. This is a fun one. All right, welcome back. This is our winter break Hinrunde review. Matt, you know what that usually means when we have our winter break Hinrunde review?
That we're depressed about how we're going to get relegated?
Yeah, we're talking about relegation, who the new manager might be, how we're going to watch Stuttgart in the Zweite League, how we're going to pronounce some of the teams we're going to play in the Zweite League. But not this year, because this year everything is just going great for Valve-based Stuttgart, and we don't have to worry about pronunciation because we've got the Prince of Pronunciation popping on the program with us really quick, Derek Ray himself. You hear him on ESPN Plus all the time. Derek, welcome to the program. Happy holidays.
And to you, Travis and Matt, thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure to be talking about VfB Stuttgart in this forum.
I don't know about you, Matt. I just got a little bit of chills. It's like watching the match as Derek is kind of commenting on my day-to-day life right now. So I very much appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm glad Derek's not commenting on my day-to-day life. It would be painfully boring for him, but this is very exciting. We're really, really glad you managed to join us, Derek. Thank you.
You would get bored of my voice if I were doing that. So, you know, be thankful.
Derek, it is the winter holidays here in the States and overseas where you are at. So you did kind of want to ask real quick is a lot of my American friends who were trying to get into the Bundesliga were just really getting into Stuttgart because we had this real nice run of form. And then they're like, wait a minute, they're taking a 3-4 week break. What is happening? Everybody else is still playing. So you're just real quick, what are your thoughts on the Bundesliga? You're taking this kind of nice long winter holiday.
Well, it's tradition, and it's something that those of us who've covered German football for a long time accept as the norm. Now, I realize for somebody who perhaps has grown accustomed to English football and this constant barrage of games over the festive period, somebody like that might see it rather differently. But I'll be honest with you, and maybe this is the commentator speaking, I like the fact that we put all our energies into preparing for games day in, day out, week in, week out. And then we take a little break and recharge the batteries. And I imagine it's the same for players. And I've always been a big believer that too much of something, too much of anything is a good thing. And it just allows us to take stock of what has happened. And then I think we always have to look forward to things again. And by having this winter pause, this short winter break, it's shorter than it used to be. I think it allows us to look forward and be excited when it all starts again very soon.
Yeah, we can't, as Stuttgart supporters here, we can't wait for it to get started up again and again. So we just want to get some of your general thoughts on how Stuttgart is looking so far. Matt, why don't you lead us off?
Yeah, so it's been a surprising season for us so far. I don't think any of us expected these results when we kicked off for match day one. This season so far, Derek, what is your biggest surprise about VfB?
Biggest surprise has been how composed the football has been. You know, I think I always was a believer, and as you guys know, I covered Stuttgart a lot towards the end of last season, particularly in the Relegation against Hamburg, the two games. And I was always of the feeling that this is not really a team that should be near the relegation zone or flirting with relegation. Having said that, I didn't believe the opposite extreme would apply as well. I didn't think this was a team or a squad that would be, you know, third or fourth or fifth or second, you know, or even pushing for top spot. But I think what has struck me most of all, Matt, has been just the way that they play when they're in possession. There is a calmness about it all. There's a purpose, but there's a calmness, and you can see that. And you can see that they had no business being in the Relegation last season when you look at what they've done in this campaign. So credit to Sebastian Hoeneß. He's got his message across. He has them playing this way. And this combination of really good possession football, but also pressing football, is something that is not to be sniffed at.
It sounds like you almost answered our next question, which is, you know, how did this team turn things around? Because March 31st last year, we had the 3-0 loss to Union Berlin. We were in 18th place, just miles away from even safety. It sounds like you sort of answered it. Now we're in third place. How did this team, from your point of view, turn things around?
Well, Hoeneß is a big part of it. I think we do have to give him credit, you know, credit where credit is due. But if you also look at the rest of the building blocks, Alexander Nübel, I think, is a big factor coming into the squad and exuding confidence as he does. Valdemar Anton has become a better player. He was always a good player, but he's become a better player, I think, and I've said this in commentary a few times, through being the captain. Doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you make somebody skipper and they're not really up for it. But Anton has embraced that, and he's made all of us forget about Wataru Endo as a captain, not necessarily as a footballer, but as a captain of Stuttgart. So there's that side to it. There is the emergence of Deniz Undav as a foil for Serhou Guirassy. We already knew how good Guirassy was, because I think we just had to look at the spell last season when he was out injured and how forlorn it was. That was a very bad period for Stuttgart when they got themselves into trouble and led to the decision to make the coaching change and bring in Sebastian Hoeneß. So I think all these things put together, you know, yeah, I don't think we had any feeling that they would be as high as they've been. But, you know, my goodness, when you have all these players working together, and Chris Fury, we have to mention as well, who I think is somebody who has just, again, taken his game to another level. I always described him as an entertainer, but he's much more than that now. He's a very effective entertainer.
Those are all, like, really great storylines. And one of the things that Travis and I have talked about off the air that we really enjoy about your commentary, aside from the German lessons, which as a German learner, I really appreciate, is how you weave in the stories throughout the game to bring the teams to life. What do you think is the most interesting of the VfB storylines this year?
Oh, that's a good question, because there are so many of them. You know, when I think about, you know, what the different stories are this season, I think what would I go for as being the one that trumps the others? I think in all, you would have to go with the Guirassy story, because it's rare for somebody who, you know, was already a good striker to explode in this fashion. You know, we've been talking for weeks covering the Bundesliga about Guirassy versus Harry Kane. Sadly, when they were on the same pitch recently, you know, it didn't quite work out for Stuttgart and for Guirassy, but that can happen against Bayern. But for the most part, we've been talking about, in fact, we were doing it at Bundesliga World Feed level as commentators. We build that as the battle of the super strikers, you know, Harry Kane and Serhou Guirassy. And so there's a player who was a good striker, but has elevated himself into the sort of upper stratosphere of strikers in the European game. And for that to happen with Stuttgart and the current guys, that's not something that any of us were predicting. We were all, you know, I think Stuttgart fans, you guys as Stuttgart fans, those of us who are commentators, we were all delighted when he extended his contract right around the time of the Relegation. But to take it to this higher level and have some of the biggest clubs in Europe salivating over the prospect of signing him, again, as Bundesliga people, as Stuttgart people in your case, we all hope that he stays in Stuttgart. But, you know, I think that's a remarkable story.
I think that ties into the next thing, too, is if this club stays together, future looks bright. I mean, what are you looking at? The Hinrunas has just been fantastic out of anything we could have expected. What are your thoughts going forward into the second half of the season? Or is just so much of that based on what the roster looks like?
I think that's part of it. I think the squad's concerns are real because we're coming into a January window. I would hope with regard to Guirassy, I'd hope he has somebody who is talking sense at him or with him and saying, you know, don't move anywhere in January. You're onto a good thing here. You can move at a later point, but, you know, how many players move in January? Things are going very well here. And so I think that it stands to reason if they can keep that squad intact, and I think they can, then Champions League football is a real possibility. It's not a guarantee. Oh. There are different. I think it's a real possibility because also Germany could have five teams in the Champions League next season because of this new setup. We don't know at the moment if we'll have five teams, but it could happen. And so that plays to Stuttgart's advantage as well. And also playing to their advantage at the moment is how bereft of ideas Dortmund have been. And we've seen that not once, but twice in direct duels involving those two clubs, once in the Bundesliga and once in the Pokal. So, you know, I think, you know, again, you have to be optimistic as Stuttgart fans. And I think even just being realistic, assessing everything, you know, there were two big tests at the end of the calendar year, one against Leverkusen. And I thought they were very good in the first half against Leverkusen. Leverkusen are top team, you know, the only team in any top five European league that hasn't tasted defeat so far this season. They bit back in the second half. So you had that test. Then you had the Bayern test that, as we said, you know, wasn't as bright, wasn't as productive. But again, that can happen against Bayern. But I think Stuttgart have demonstrated that as of right now, they belong in that conversation with regard to making it into the Champions League. And there's the Pokal that I think is difficult because it's Leverkusen away, but that is a real chance to win a trophy. So I think that you should both be very excited. I know you are, but you should be even more excited than perhaps you already are.
There is a lot to be excited about. And as Stuttgart fans, we're constantly pinching ourselves because we haven't had this sort of jubilation over our team. And the word we keep coming back to is joy this year. And there's not a lot to not be joyful about. But the one thing that the folks in the Konstadter Kurve do wring their hands a lot about is, can the roster stay together after the break? Yeah. And you mentioned Guirassy, and I think you and I are on the same page with this. He'd be wise to stay through the end of the season, maximize his earning potential in the off season. He's in a place where he's comfortable. How likely do you think he stays? How likely do we keep Anton? Do we keep Ito, the other guys who have really broken out? Can we keep this roster together? Or do you think this is all going to fall apart for us before the Rückrunde starts?
Well, that's the big challenge, isn't it, for Fabian Wohlgemuth and his staff on the sporting side. I just have it's a strange gut feeling. I'm sometimes, you know, an optimist by nature, but I have a feeling that Guirassy is going to look at it and think to himself, you know, I've got this far with this team, and, you know, things can go awry when you change things in midstream, and this is not the time to be doing that. And, you know, it applies to Leverkusen to an extent as well. You look at how well some of their players are doing, look at how well Xavi Alonso is doing, and nobody there would think at the moment, let's just move somewhere else now. And I think the same for Stuttgart. And Anton, I think, you know, that they have to obviously get to grips with that contract situation for the long haul, given how well he's been playing. But I think short term, I would imagine he stays there. And so it's a matter of keeping an eye on the future, because that's what good sporting directors do. They think not just about, you know, the next week and the next month, but 2-3 years down the line. And, you know, if you are going to sell a player, what's the plan for replacing that player, for having a successor? But yeah, definitely a very important time on the sporting front. But let's hope.
Derek, the nice thing, two things is, one, a comment, you mentioned strikers going aside, like Sasha Kalajic might be on his way back to the Liga. Just he had injuries, but an example about how it's not always, you know, greener on the other side of the fence. And the second thing is, you got just a little bit of a taste of what it's like to be a Stuttgart supporter. We never can be too happy, too much. We're always worried about something. But when you do go to Stuttgart and when you do broadcast those home matches, we do have a big question for you. Is it Maltagen or is it Spezel? What are you going for when you're dining?
I have to confess, I'm more of a Spezler person than I am a Maultasche person. I don't mind Maultasche, but I sort of have to be in the mood for Maultasche. Just the mixture of ingredients doesn't quite tantalize my taste buds as much as a good Spätzle. And the good thing about Spätzle is you find that everywhere, or many different parts of Germany, even though when I first bounced around as a student back in the 1980s, it was mostly a Schwäbisch thing.
Yeah. We just lost about 80% of our listeners, Derek. Thanks a lot.
Sorry about that.
So why don't we jump into the Hinrunda review real quick? We're about to hit the new year. So let's look back at just what has been a fantastic first 16 matches. So the OFC, so we have an official fan club over here. We polled all the people in it. We got a lot of votes on a couple of different data points here. So we'll throw some at you, Derek. Offensive player of the Hinrunda. We'll start you off with a real tough one. What would be your vote for that one?
Maybe a fellow by the name of Girassi. Yeah, no, I think probably that's about 100% with Girassi. I mean, obviously honorable mentions for several others. And I think Dennis Undav has been a terrific compliment to him. And we've seen him start more and more as the Hinrunde has progressed. But nah, Girassi, for me, just an absolute hit in terms of what he has produced and his wired in qualities and just the way that he is the focal point of this team now. Yeah, fabulous.
I think if anybody doesn't vote for Girassi for that, we have to ask if they've been watching the games.
Yes.
And Undav, I would give the honorable mention to. It's been a lot of fun to watch him start to break out and that partnership with the two of them start to develop. But yeah, it's no question. Girassi's he's the man.
Yep, over 80% of the group voted for Seiru, like you guys said, and honorable mention, you guys nailed it, was Dennis there. So Enzo and Chris got some votes. The one that I really like is this next one, Derek, defensive player of the game. A lot of choices here. Tough ones, too. What do you think?
Yeah, you could go a number of different ways on that. And if you go purely by the statistics, and again, this is something that probably people are maybe sick of hearing me talk about because I do it quite a lot when I do Stuttgart games. Dan Axel Zagadou, in terms of winning his challenges, particularly in the air, better than anybody in the Bundesliga. So there's a strong temptation to go for Dan Axel Zagadou. But I am going to say Valdi Anton, I think, just because of his overall leadership qualities. I don't think you would go wrong at all if you said Zagadou. You could make a case, you know, if you want to extend it even further, if defensive midfielders come into it, you could mention what Atakan Karazor has done in his partnership with Angelo Stiller. But I think for me, the captain, Valdemar Anton.
So I think Anton's right. I did put Daxo for my answer for one reason. We had an ongoing running joke on this podcast that every game Zagadou had one back-breaking mistake that would inevitably lead to a goal. And the biggest change I've seen in his game this season is he's eliminated those huge mental errors. Yep. And we're not seeing those. So he's not only solid, but he's winning those aerial challenges, like you said. He's pressing the opponents. He's just all around super impressive.
Yeah, yep. His emergence has been amazing. It's so hard to believe he's only 23, I think it is. He seems so much older than that. He was runner-up for the OFC, but you guys nailed it. It was Valdi Anton with almost 40% of the vote. Alex Neubel, who's just been rock star. solid in the back, was third place in this one. Another vote that I really like this one. We had a lot of different people vote for different candidates for this one. Was the most pleasantly surprising player. I think it's one of the tougher ones because there's a lot of guys that are having breakout seasons, Derek.
Yeah, most pleasantly surprising. Well, the two that come to mind are, I have a feeling I'm not going to go with the majority on this one. So the two who come to mind for me are Atakan Karazor, who I just mentioned, because, you know, he's been the sort of player in the past in his career who has been bypassed a bit. You say, okay, you sort of take for granted what he does, but I think he's taken it to a higher level. But I'm actually going to go for somebody who wasn't starting at the beginning of the season. I've always liked as a professional, but I think his move to Stuttgart has really benefited him and it's helped Stuttgart. And that is Maximilian Mittelstädt, who I think has demonstrated that it was the right move for him. And I very much like the way he works with and alternates with Chris Führich on the left-hand side when he plays. So Maximilian Mittelstädt, I suspect that I'm not in the majority there.
I thought for sure when I made my pick that it would be an off-the-wall one, but I also picked Mittelstädt. And the reason I did is the book I read on him before he came to Stuttgart was that he was born a Sosa light, that he didn't have the crosses, but he was a little better passer. He was a little better ball handler. He was a little better in offense, but that was about it. And that was coming largely from his former club. So I didn't expect a whole lot out of him, and I've been super pleasantly surprised. And Atakan Karazor was my number two as well. I feel like he's been a linchpin for our defensive efforts in the midfield.
Yeah, I thought we were getting a Pascal Stenvold type when we got Maxi Mittelstädt. You never know what you're going to get when a team is relegated. And he was only, I think, 500,000 euros. So you're like, eh. But he has just been such a pleasantly surprising player because he won the award. So, Derek, Matt, you guys are just spot on right now. he's playing great. I don't really like this next question, but we do have to cover it. Is the most disappointing player, the player who hasn't really had that season yet. And it's kind of tough because so many players have done so well so far. So even though some of these guys are doing well, in comparison, maybe they don't seem to be doing too well. So, Derek, most disappointing player wearing the Bruce string this year so far?
Yeah, that's a difficult one because, as you have correctly said, most players have overachieved or over-surprised, if you like. So I think we're probably splitting hairs, but I'll give a mention here because I think he can do even better to Jamie Leveling, who I think, you know, has had an impact in certain games, hasn't been starting too often, but I think there's more to come from him on loan from Union. We'll see what the future holds for Leveling. Again, a player who I like, but I just think compared to the impact that others have made, I'd mentioned him, but I think that is a real tribute to Stuttgart, the fact that we're looking at players who haven't really been terrible. It's just all relative to how well everybody else has been doing.
I'm going to serve as the voice of the Discord channel right now and say Lilian Egloff, who the fans have been clamoring to get more playing time, to get more chances. And I feel like every time he's gotten on the field, which has been admittedly very limited this year, but when he gets out there, he just looks lost. And it's frustrating to see a homegrown player who we all want to be a contributing member of the squad just not getting there and not seeming to make a case for himself when he is on the field.
Yeah, the poor kid's been hurt quite a bit, so it's been tough for him to get on. Jamie Leveling was second place in this one. So I was kind of surprised you guys didn't say, because he was so great when he broke out that I think a lot of us have that memory of him before his ACL injury against Bayern is Silas. But it was only about 20% of the vote, so it wasn't like it was a huge one. He had some moments here. I was hoping he would have made that last pass to Seyru in the Augsburg match so that Seyru could have netted a brace in what could have been his last one there, but he launched it over.
You see, I think the reason why I didn't mention Silas is I was at the microphone for that lovely moment, you remember, against Union midway through the Hinrunde when he basically made that run, you know, used his pace and then lovely little sort of cheeky finish at the end, which, and again, you know, one moment doesn't make or break a season, but he's a player who I'm very fond of. So, sorry, Jamie Leveling.
Maybe he'll win this next one. So we've got the newcomer of the year. So there was a few guys that Volgemut was able to get into the roster. Derek, newcomer of the year. What do you think?
Yeah, this one's really hard. Really, really hard when I think about the newcomers who have come into the squad. And, you know, we've already spoken about a couple of them. We've spoken about Dennis Undav, and we've spoken about Alexander Neuber. I am going to give this one to Alexander Neuber, because I do think that it was something that needed to be upgraded for Stuttgart. And I think he has, you know, just has that tremendous presence. And, you know, we've known how good a goalkeeper he is. His career has sort of gone a little bit on the wrong direction for various reasons. But here he is now in the right place this season. So, yeah, Alexander Neuber over Dennis Undav for me.
I think Neuber's a great answer, and I've been a vocal and consistent critic of our goalkeeping over the last couple of years, with a never trust a Florian thing being a go-to joke for us for a while. But I'm going to go with Angelo Stiller, because I knew nothing about this guy. I expected nothing out of him, and he showed up for me completely out of nowhere, and he's been fantastic and been a real engine for us and a great transitional piece from the defense to the offense. And as good as Neubel is playing, and as happy as I am to have a consistently good goalie who's not making horrible mental errors on the back end, I've got to give this to Schiller.
You guys nailed the top two. So Alex was in second place, the vice champion, as I like to say, and Schiller was in first place for this one. Derek, the thing that blows me away about Angelo is that Pellegrino in Hoffenheim runs a system I think is somewhat similar to what Honus runs in Stuttgart. Stiller couldn't get off the bench there and couldn't impress Reno, but he was one of the first players that Sebastian wanted, and he has just flourished here. It's so bizarre how a change of scenery for some of these guys can make all the world of a difference.
100%, and you see that right across all levels of the game. A coach has a particular favorite, and they go back a long way, in the case of Sebastian Hoeneß and Angelo Stiller, back to the Bayern days and continuing in Hoffenheim. And I think he has made, we spoke about Karazor earlier, I think he's made him better, because the two are not identical types. They're operating in similar sectors of the pitch, but they work well off each other. And I think that has led to more confidence on the part of Atakan Karazor. But I agree, Stiller is somebody who I do think Julian Nagelsmann will be looking at with regard to the national team. It's maybe getting a little bit tight for the Euros, depends upon, you know, who's fit and who's not. But I would say in the years ahead, he's somebody who will be a Germany player.
All right, we got two questions left here. I think this next one might be the same answer as our first one. The player of the Hinrunde, Derek.
Yeah, it has to be Girassi. I don't think there's any way around it, much as it would be nice to make it a bit of a contest. I think Serhou Girassi has this one wrapped up.
Yeah, Girassi, no question, with an honorable mention to Anton, just for solidifying the back end of the pitch. So Girassi's magic has not gone undone by untimely conceded goals.
Alex, Angelo, Daxo, Chris received votes, but over 80% voted for exactly who you guys said, Seyru there. So not a big surprise there. He's getting all kinds of OFC Americana awards, and I'm sure he'll put somewhere nice on his bookshelf there. So the last question we have, Derek, it was Christmas. We got the new year coming up. So the last question was, what would be the perfect Stuttgart gift for the supporters, for the team? What would you give as a perfect gift to kind of make all of our 2023s end on just a crazy happy note?
Ooh, well, I think probably something quite simple, you know, a simple gift, maybe a guarantee that the squad will stay as it is and that there'll be no injuries, that there's not going to be an ACL, you know, first game back after the winter pause or something like that. I think Stuttgart fans, and you guys can probably back me up on this, will be quite happy with a modest gift like that, because the more spectacular gifts have already been handed out in terms of the performances so far this season.
From your voice to the soccer god's ears, I think keeping the team together would be an absolute joy for us and would give us something to look forward to in the Hinrunde. I'm going to say something I want from the team. I've been wanting a black polo shirt with the VfB crest on it for years. And every time one pops up on the store, by the time I get there to order it, they are sold out. So if anybody from the club is looking for listening to this, that's what we want, or what I want for my VfB present. But for the team, absolutely keep that roster together.
Yeah, I've ordered enough stuff from their team shop, so I'm okay for a while. But this was not a multiple choice question. This was a you had to fill in your own answer question. And I'm a teacher, Derek. In the United States, we don't do so well with those. But over 70%, I added them all up, said exactly what you said. Just keep the roster together, and I'll be so happy. Give us another 6 months of happiness here. So that's it for our Hinrunda review. Derek, it was an exciting first half of the season. We'll leave with this. How excited are you for the second half of the season?
Extremely excited. I think that if you're a Stuttgart fan, it stands to reason that you should be excited. You know, I often refer when I'm broadcasting to the glory days of Stuttgart, mainly because I was around to experience them, you know, going back to 1984, winning the Meisterschale, 1992, 2007, when Armin Fee was the coach, the team of Gomez and Hitzlsperger and others. And again, it's difficult to replicate that. But I think Stuttgart are in a very good place with this squad. They have the right coach, and we haven't necessarily said that for a while. And I think that given the trajectory of events in the upper reaches of the Bundesliga, I do believe that. I believe top four, top five, and top five could be Champions League, utterly realistic. And the biggest game of all might be that Pokal match away to Leverkusen. I mean, I think that is that has all the makings of a thriller.
Well, the last time we set you guys up for the top spiel, we kind of let you down. So hopefully for this one,
we'll come ready. Yeah. Fingers crossed. But I've really enjoyed covering Stuttgart this season, and I've been lucky enough to do it quite a bit.
No, it's been great to have you. Matt, any last thoughts? Usually we end on a sour note, you know, because we're Stuttgart supporters, but Derek's given us a lot to be happy about.
I am just giddy, Derek, that you were willing to join us today. This has been such a treat. And so fantastic. And I'm still pinching myself a little bit that the voice of FIFA is speaking to me on my laptop.
No, I'm thrilled to be on with you. And, you know, part of my, I don't want to call it a mission, it sounds a bit grandiose, but part of my goal is to spread the love of German football. You guys already have it, but you're doing it with the Stuttgart community in the United States. And so we're all on the same wavelength when it comes to that. You know, we're all trying to create new fans of German football. As I always say, you know, yes, it's football, but it's German football. And we have to emphasize that. We have to emphasize the cultural things that make it different and, in my opinion, better. And you guys do that with your podcast, so more power to you. And yeah, let's hope for a wonderful start to 2024.
No, sounds good, Derek. And don't get too excited. Matt signs off with me like that every episode. So,
as he should.
All right, Derek, thanks so much for joining us. We hope you have a great new year, and 2024 is as exciting for you as 2023 has been. Matt, thanks again for popping on. And, you know, you can credit my voice, too, if you want.
Travis, always an absolute pleasure to join you. Just can't believe it's so exciting to hear the person I would play against FIFA.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in this episode. And hopefully we talk to you next time after another big Stuttgart win. Thanks, guys.